Going to be reading from First Book of Thessalonians and chapter 3. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens. And we sent Timothy to visit you. He's our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask your blessing on the reading of the word and on the preaching of the word. And we pray, Father, that you will come and inhabit our praises and our joy in you this morning as we look at your word and take it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts chapter 17, we find Paul and Silas in a bit of bother. They had gone, as they usually did, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they had preached a new gospel. Because the Jews hadn't heard that Jesus was Messiah, and Paul was determined that they should. And so every Sabbath day they found Paul and Silas in the synagogue teaching about Jesus. And it says that a lot of the Jews who were there believed, and so did some of the Greeks. But unfortunately, some of the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of the communities there were not so impressed. Paul preached from the Old Testament and he showed them that Jesus had to come and that there was no other way. He had to die and he had to be risen from the dead. And many believed. But things got so difficult that Paul and Silas had to leave. And the scribes and Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews went to the house of one of their friends where they had been staying, and they pulled him out and his friends and took them into the marketplace. They were going to do them harm. But Paul and Silas, by this time, had already left and they'd gone on to Berea. And then after Berea, they went to Athens, where Paul, looking round the marketplace or the market square, had seen all the different little temples and shrines to various idols, and he'd found one which said, "To the unknown God." Well, that delighted him because he could reveal who the unknown God was. But he was still thinking about his little flock at Thessalonica. He said, "I had to leave before I told you everything that you needed to know." And you know what it's like when you have led somebody to the Lord? You watch them like a mother watches a child, and you think, what are they doing? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? And you want them to grow, and you want them to get on with God, and you want to know how they're doing. Years ago, I led a young man to the Lord, and it broke my heart when one day I realized he was not walking with the Lord any longer. And then I was absolutely thrilled to find he'd come back to the Lord, and now he's in a Baptist church. Oh dear, never mind. But he's a deacon, and he leads worship, and he's really going on with God. And oh, it was so thrilling. And Paul was thinking about his little Thessalonican church, and he was thinking, how are they doing? How are they doing? Are they still standing? They were like his children. And there was a lot of persecution. When he was there, he had told them about the persecution. He'd said, you come to Christ and you'll be persecuted. It's part of the deal. We don't feel it so much in the Western world here, do we? But you don't have to go too far away to find that people are still being persecuted. Have they succumbed to the persecution? Has it been so fierce that they've decided it's just too much and they've given up? How are we going to find out? They couldn't go back to Thessalonica because they were persona non grata. So what were they going? I know. We'll send Timothy. Hey, Tim lad, listen, you weren't with us in Thessalonica, were you? At least, well, you weren't there when we got thrown out. So you go back and you find out for us and you send us news of what's happening because we want to know. So Timothy goes and he finds out. Paul, writing to other churches, the church in Corinth, had written these words, a long list of sins that he didn't want them to be involved in. And then he said, some of you were once like this, but you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is what he wrote to the Corinthians. He had a bit of trouble with the Corinthian church, and he often had to write to them. But this time, he was saying, look, you've come out from all that. You were made right with God by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Go on the way you're going. And he was feeling the same way about the Thessalonians. Are you still going on? Are you still standing? Are you still right with God? So he wanted to find out. Were they being tempted? They lived in a pagan society as well. There were lots of temples, quite exciting places when you weren't a Christian. Had they been weaned back? Had they gone back? You know, when I first became a Christian, we used to have a lot of missionaries come to us from places like South America. And they said that one of the difficulties there was that the people in South America were quite happy to become Christians, but they also retained some of their pagan practices. So they did a sort of mix and match, like they used to at Woolworths, but I don't suppose you remember Woolworths, do you? And so they mixed and matched. And it's a bit like that in Japan too. My daughter knows Japanese. And they're quite happy to accept Christianity as a sort of bolt-on to everything else. Were the Thessalonians doing the same thing? Were they being tempted back? Were they going back into the place where they'd come from? Timothy, go and find out for me. Go and strengthen and encourage them to keep going on in the faith. Off you go, Tim, lad. So Timothy went. And he found out. No, they were standing. They were still firm in the faith. They were still going on with God. Can you imagine the delight in the heart of Paul and Silas? Were they growing? It's one thing standing, but are they growing? Were they living in a way that was pleasing God, it says in chapter 4? Were they growing? Paul, again writing to the Corinthian church, had said, I had to feed you on milk, not solid food. They'd been Christians for a while, but they weren't going any deeper in God. Is that what the Thessalonians were doing? Paul wanted to find out. Are they still on milk? Or have they been weaned? And are they now on steak and chips? What were they doing? So Paul says, we're praying night and day, asking God to fill the gaps. Paul said, there was so much more I wanted to tell you. There was so much more that I had to feed you with. And yet, I had to go. How are you doing? Are you still able to go on with God? Are you moving in God? It's wonderful when you see new Christians, and then you see them going on, and you see them sometimes even overtaking you, and you think, oh, right. They're growing. They're feeding. They're going deeper in God. Paul wanted to know if that's what was happening to the Thessalonians. I didn't have time to finish my work with you, he's saying. How are you doing? Now I've had to go. And then he said, Tim, find out if they're loving. Are they loving? Verse 9 in chapter 4 talks about the importance of loving one another. And in verse 6, it says, he reports that you all always remember our visits with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. Yes, they were loving. Yes, they were going. They were standing. Yes, they were growing. Yes, they were loving. They loved Paul and Silas, and they loved one another. And Jesus said, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Of course, churches are always loving places, aren't they? Timothy's report was a good one. It was an encouraging one. He went back to Paul and Silas, and he told them, yes, they're doing all the things that they should be doing. Yes, they're standing. Yes, they're growing. Yes, they're loving. Paul, God is moving in them. And you are praying. He was encouraging them with the hope of the return of Christ in chapter 4. When I became a Christian, every week, I think, we heard a sermon on the second coming. Because it was not too long after Israel had been created a state, and so all the Christians were really excited. And I grew up in my first years as a Christian expecting God to be coming tomorrow or even today. I remember once running to a prayer meeting and saying to the Lord, please don't come before I get to the prayer meeting because I want to go with all my Christian brothers and sisters. You see, God does answer prayer, doesn't he? But when I first became a Christian, we were determined that God was coming. He was going to return any minute. And Timothy's telling the people this. Listen, listen. God is coming soon. Christ is returning. You need to be in the right place. And they were. Because he said of them, you are our pride and joy. Wouldn't it be lovely? Sam gets up next Sunday morning, looks at you all and says, you are my pride and joy. You are my pride and joy. So, this is what the message says about verse 6 of chapter 3. But now Timothy is back, bringing this terrific report on your faith and love, knowing that your faith is alive and it keeps us alive. When you've brought people to the Lord and you see them standing and you see them growing and you see them loving, it keeps you alive as well as them. Paul was able to receive this report from Timothy. And he said, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns? It is you. You are our pride and joy. Are you standing? Or are you being pulled into the way the world thinks, the values of the world? Are you growing? Are you feeding on God's word every day? Is it a delight to your heart when you get your Bible out? Are you loving? And part of loving is forgiving. Will you be a delight and a joy? Amen.